Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Eucatex audio conference to discuss the results concerning the first quarter of 2015. At this time, all participants will be connected in listen-only mode. After that, we'll start a Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should you need assistance during the call, please request the help of an operator by pressing star zero. Before moving on, we'd like to state that forward-looking statements made during this call concerning the company's business outlook and also financial and operating forecasts and goals are based on beliefs and assumptions held by the company's management, and also on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are no guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions, and may therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not materialize. Investors should have in mind that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors might affect the company's future results and thus lead to results that will differ significantly from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. I'd like now to give the floor over to Mr. José Antonio Goulart de Carvalho. Please, Mr. Goulart, you have the floor.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for participating in this call. We'll be discussing Eucatex's S.A. results concerning the first quarter of 2015. This has been a very challenging quarter for us. Many factors that impact demand in our area have adverse behavior, such as increase in inflation, interest rates, a drop in income, an increase in the unemployment rate, a drop in the confidence on the part of the consumer, not to mention other drivers which brought some uneasiness for the economy, which include the car wash, as it was called, operation, investigations made by the federal police. All of that, all those difficulties reflect on the economy, and we'll see that in some of the indexes that measure the assessment of our sector. For example, the index for construction materials dropped 1.8% when compared to the same period of last year. The paint segment dropped 3%, and the panel segment, even though we had a slight growth in the domestic market, still we have difficulties going forward. As I said, we have a challenging scenario ahead of us, but as a whole, the company managed to reach its objectives. In October, November last year, we finalized our budget, and we're already contemplating a difficult period, so we set objectives which were realistic, if you will. The company, as you will see throughout the presentation, has accomplished what was budgeted for. Let's start on slide number two, where we have some highlights for the first quarter. We had a growth in net revenue of 5.5% at 278 million reais. Our recurring EBITDA was stable when compared to last year's level at 48 million. We had a drop in the EBITDA margin at 0.9 percentage points. Another highlight was the growth in exports and a physical growth of around 29% and a growth in net revenue of 58%. On the next slide, we see some operating data. As I just said, there was a variation in net revenue at 5.5%. and we have a breakdown of those revenues in the quarter on the pie chart. On the left, we have a breakdown by product. That's a chart we usually show in our presentations. No major change when compared to last year's first quarter. And on the right-hand side, a breakdown by segment of those revenues. And we'd like to highlight the importance of the external, the export market for us. At the close of last year, that same chart showed a level of 6% in terms of the export market. That number jumped to 11%, and we believe that number will continue to grow. We'll focus our energy on the export market as well. The big news in that segment is that we started to export HDF. By mid last year, the only panel we were exporting were fireboards. We have been certified by an American regulating agency, which allowed us to start exporting HDF as well. And that has allowed us to grow in that export segment. As I said, we continue to focus on that segment, and we're investing in that segment so we can increase our participation in the external market. On slide number 4, and the other slides, we'll be talking about our different segments where we operate, starting with the wood segment. On the right-hand side, we have a breakdown by product. We did not include doors and partitions, but those are included under fiber boards and also under HDF, MDF. Our net revenue specifically for that segment grew 5.7%, reaching something closer to 108 million. That growth in revenue is based on an improve of our niche. It was not because of price or volume. It was coming from a better product mix. As you can see in the bottom part of the slide, our growth in the period was 1.8%, while the market grew 3.3%. So this is based on a change in our mix. We are now going through a program to increase prices. We started this program before the close of the quarter, mid-March. We're continuing to do this in April and May. It is a price increase program for all wood panels, and this, we believe, will cover costs, so forthcoming costs, and will also provide us with some gain in margins. On the next slide, slide number 5, we have the installed capacity utilization at the top part of the slide. No major changes, except for the HDF. The number is not there. We did not include, but in the same period of last year, the capacity utilization was around 81%. It moved up to 89%, and that's good news in terms of capacity utilization. Not long ago, the beginning of the end of 13 and 14, we reached full capacity in some areas, so we are going as expected. We expect this number to improve significantly because in the first quarter, we are already seeing an expansion of our flooring segment. We have several products under that line, from cheaper to more expensive. We have a glueless fitting product introduced, and we have expanded that line of product to other lines. And with that, we believe we'll have some growth in our laminated flooring segment. And the bottom part, we have a breakdown of costs for different panels. This is just for your information. an important piece of data is that by the end of March, we had a very strong readjustment in electricity. I believe everybody felt it, even as consumers. It was a sharp increase. We are in the free market as an industry, and our contract will last until 2018. So it was not a variation in the value of electricity, but an increase in the burdens, the tax burdens, and that will reflect an increase on our electricity bill, and we expect a growth of 40%. That can give you an idea of the sort of the impact that we'll have on the cost of those panels. Moving on to slide number 6, we have information on the paint segment. It was not an easy quarter, as you can see. If we look on the right-hand side, we can see that the market, according to the Brazilian Association of Paint Manufacturers, the market dropped by 3.3% this quarter when compared to the first quarter of 2014. But we at Elcatex managed to grow in volume by 2.5%. And then when we look at the left-hand side, on top of that volume growth, our revenue grew more than 2.5%. We grew 6.5% in revenue. That shows that not only managed to grow in volume, but also in price recovery. On the top left-hand side, the installed capacity utilization, we have the same number as we had last year, just about 56% last year. We are now at 58%. And on the right-hand side, just as we did for the wood segment, a breakdown of costs for the paint segment, for your information. Let's move on to slide number 7. We have a breakdown of financial data. Some of those figures have been discussed. Net revenue grew 5.5% at 278 million reais in the quarter. The gross profit grew in reais when compared to last year, but a slight drop in the gross margin at 0.7 percentage points. Expenses as a whole are under control. If we look at administrative expenses, which as a rule refer to wages and salaries, salaries are corrected according to inflation, we can see that not only they were not adjusted based on inflation, but there was a decrease in nominal value in administrative expenses, which shows that our cost reduction programs have worked. Operating expenses have grown nominally, but show a very small variation when compared to the net revenue. That growth is driven by two main pillars. The first, a high concentration of trade fairs in the first half of the year, and secondly, the fact that exports grew in terms of importance and contribution for the revenue. And we have, of course, higher expenses concerning exports. The result of all those figures, when you look at the recurring EBITDA, we were flat when compared to last year's period, 47.8 million. But as I mentioned before, there was a drop in the EBITDA margin at 0.9 percentage points. We were at 18.1 and moved down to 17.2. Another important point to discuss, we have a growth in the financial results, a significant increase in financial expenses, driven mainly by the foreign exchange variation, not to mention interest and bank expenses at 25, 26 million. And those variations are related to our debt at the close of the period. But as I said before, it is important to note that our exports grew significantly and that will certainly reflect in dollars. So that growth will be offset by this growth in exports. Our net income dropped significantly when compared to last year's first quarter, mainly driven once again by the financial results. On slide number 8, we see a breakdown of our debt. Our net debt grew at 316.6 million. And the reference number is December 2014 at 293 million, an increase of about 23 million reais. And that's about the same value we saw in the variation of the foreign exchange rate. Our net debt EBITDA ratio grew since we have stability in cash generation. So there's a growth in debt, mainly, once again, due to the foreign exchange rate. The debt profile, no major changes when compared to our recent track record. On slide number 9, we talk about our investments here and compare the first quarter of last year with the first quarter of 2015. There was a significant drop. Last year we were at 28.4 million. This year we are at 20 million investment, the main difference. When we look in the chart behind, there is the plant at Salto. Last year we had investments made. Just backtracking a little bit, investments that we made in the first quarter of this year are mainly dedicated to the maintenance of our plants and our forestry sustainability. Last year, on top of that, we also had extraordinary or one-off investments. If you remember, we purchased a new line for high gloss finishing. We had also investment in our gluing facilities, which also resulted in savings. So because of that, we spent a little more in terms of investments last year. As a provision for the year, we're talking about 94 million on the right-hand side. And in 2014, that number was 106 million reais in terms of investments. On slide number 10, the last slide of the presentation, of this short presentation, we have information containing, considering forestry. 80% of our revenue comes from forest-based items. We are self-sufficient in terms of wood needs. We have 77 farms, all located in the state of São Paulo, totaling 46,000 hectares. Our average radius for plant supply is 162 kilometers for Salto, 37 kilometers for Botucatu. On the left-hand side, in the bottom, we have an evolution of our planted forest at last year. Last year, as you can see in the chart, in 2014, we had two different things in that bar, highlighting new planting areas and management areas, seedling management. That's something we started last year. We were very successful. So part of our forest, of course, after analyzing soil profiles, analyzing clone types, disease resistance, we concluded that some areas we had an opportunity to plant again instead of starting a new season planting. That results in significant savings. And we did that for 64% of our forests last year. 10 days ago, I visited those forests, and those managed forests are doing really well. We are very sure that we are not going to lose any productivity because of that. And on top of that, we'll be able to achieve significant savings in managing those forests. On the right-hand side, for information, as we do always, the processed volume for Salto and also the recycling capacity. We use all types of wood chips, and then we generate thermal energy with those residues. And of course, that results in gains when we think we could be buying that wood in the market. That's what we had, and we are now available for questions you may have. Thank you. We'll now start the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star 1. To remove your question from the list, please press the hashtag, the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, press star 1. Once again, as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. And to remove the question from the list, press the pound key. Mr. Juan Pires from Charles Rivers Capital has a question. Good morning. I have two questions. The first one, I'd like to understand a little better how the company sees the drop in the new real estate launches. And this will affect the internal demand for wood panels, of course. And if you have any kind of assessment in terms of what percentage of the panels go to the real estate, the construction industry, and what goes for the furniture industry, and what kind of drop do you see in your numbers concerning the drop or related to the drop in new real estate launches? And the second question about exports, what would be the potential of growth in terms of volume of your products, especially for fiberboards and MDF, HDF? How much do you think you could gear towards the export market? Thank you. Good morning, Juan. Thank you for your questions. We do not have a precise figure considering the impact of housing starts in the consumption of our products. We have some figures, some evidence pointing to that. But it also depends on the type of product we're talking about. When we look at paints, for example, they account to 22-23% of our revenues. I'd say that 75-80% of what we sell in terms of paints are for repainting projects. For example, a home which already exists. When we consider other products, for example, doors, now, that percentage is the opposite. We are more likely to sell doors for a new construction, and we're not likely to sell doors to an existing construction. So that varies according to the product. In terms of furniture, of course, new homes are important. But in any event, I'd say that the percentage of purchase would be higher for already existing homes. So I know I'm not being very precise in my answer, and apologize, but as I said, it varies. And the weight of existing homes are more important for us than housing starts. So in other words, we depend more on the economic scenario, as I mentioned in the beginning of the presentation. Conditions such as credit conditions, employment levels, confidence levels, those will influence the consumer's day-to-day purchasing decisions. That is more important to us than housing starts. As for your second question concerning the potential for exports, as a whole, we have three main pieces of equipment that produce panels, or in other words, three main lines: fiber boards, and have MVP and HDF/MDF. MVP, which is the more complicated, the possibility to export is very, very slim. Perhaps to a close frontier country, we could find some opportunity to export. But to ship that via the ocean, very, very unlikely. Now, when you talk about fiber boards or MDF, there we do have significant opportunities. Theoretically, there would be no limit. Theoretically, we could export everything. But external demand, of course, offers its own opportunities, has its own challenges, but there is significant potential of growth in exports for those products, especially for MDF, which is a new product that we are exporting, starting to export, and we see a very promising avenue to grow. I think we are setting ourselves apart from the competition in that segment because we are a 60-year-old company, very strong tradition in exports. We have arms in the U.S. We've been present in the American market for over 20 years, so we are have some headway when compared to our competitors. And I believe that number for exports will continue to grow. I hope I have tackled your questions. Thank you. Okay, thank you. Thank you for your answer. Once again, as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. And to remove the question from the list, please press the pound sign. Mr. Enrique Cesar has a question. Hello? Hello? Please, Mr. Enrique, you may carry on. Good morning. I'd like to hear about the increase which took place in March. What was the reason for that increase for both lines, MDF and MDP? And still based on the current economic scenario, if there is an expectation of a new increase in the second half of the year. Thank you for your question. We have been working on that increase, an increase of about 7 to 8% that will cover all panels, not only fiber boards, but it's happening across our products, fiber boards, MDF, MDP. And that's what we see now. It's difficult to make forecasts for the rest of the year. It'll depend, as you mentioned, on market and economic conditions and also on cost conditions. We have to wait for inflation, electricity, foreign exchange materialize. We have to wait for the market to absorb that, and then we will analyze if we need to make further adjustments. For now, that's it. We are going to conclude that now. Thank you. Once again, if you have a question, please press star 1. Since there are no more questions, we'll give the floor back to Mr. Goulart for his final remarks. Mr. Goulart, please, you may proceed. Well, We have recently made a presentation concerning the 2014 figures, and not long ago, a few weeks ago, and back then, we talked about the difficulty we saw going forward, difficulties we faced in 2014, and difficulties we will face in 2015. In fact, as I said earlier today, the year started with several challenges for the company, and those challenges have led the company to adopt strong strategies to try and sustain the company's profitability. Those strategies include mainly exports have helped us significantly. We have managed to balance our utilization because of that. We have been more efficient in terms of pricing for the internal market as well. We have also focused on higher profitability products. We have conducted a review of our portfolio, trying to streamline that product mix. We have also started several cost reduction programs. I did mention the administrative cost reduction. In other words, we are focused, and we believe we'll be able to achieve the objectives for the year. Once again, thank you all for participating. Other questions you may have may be forwarded to us. On the last slide, you have our contact info, and we are available always. Thank you, and have a nice day. Audio conference is now over. Thank you all for participating, and have a nice day.